situated in everyone's time. And on this basis, one should separately worship the demigods, the sacred persons, ordinary human beings and living entities, one's forefathers, and oneself. In this way, one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. Now verse 16. Yarhi Atmano Dikaratya Sarva Syur Yagya Sampada Vaitanikena Vidhina Agni Utradina Yajet Yaryatmano Dikaratya Sarvasyuryagya Sampada
Sarvasyuryagya Sampada
Vaitanikena Vidhina
Vaitanikena Vidhina
Agnihotra Dinayajet
Agnihotra Dinayajet
Yaryatmano Dikaradya Yagya Sampada
Sarvasyogya Sampada
Vaitanikena Vidhina
Vaitanikena Vidhina
Agnihotra Dinayajet
Agnihotra Dinayajet
Yaryatmano Dikaradya
Yaryatmano Dikaradya
Sarvasyuryagya Sampada
Sarvasyuryagya Sampada
Vaitanikena Vidhina
Vaitanikena Vidhina
Agnihotra Dinayajet
Agnihotra Dinayajet
He
When
Atmana
Of oneself
Adhikara Adhya
Adhikara Adhya
Things possessed by him
Things possessed by him
Under full control
Under full control
Sarva
Sarva
Everything
Everything
Syo Becomes
Becomes
Yagya Sampada
Yagya Sampada
Paraphernalia for performing Yagya
performing yajna.
Or the means for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Or the means for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaitanikena. Vaitanikena.
With authorized books that direct the performance of yajna.
With authorized books that direct the performance of yajna.
Vidhina.
Vidhina.
According to regulative principles.
According to regulative principles.
Agnihotra Adina.
Agnihotra Adina.
By offering sacrifices to the fire, etc.
By offering sacrifices to the fire, etc.
Yajet.
Yajet.
One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If a grihastha or householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform yajnas as directed by the authorized scriptures. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 9 clearly says, Yajyartat karmanom yatra Lokoyam karma bandhana. Everyone may be engaged in his occupational duties, but the result of these duties should be offered for sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. if one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge, as well as the money with which to perform sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the Shastras. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.52, Kritaya jayato vishnum, tretiyam yajato mapai, dvarpare paracharyavam, kalo tadhari kirtanat. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satya Yuga by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart, and in Treta Yuga by the performance of costly yajnas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwapara Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple, and in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already begun, the Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers, and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya, and the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy man and the educated man should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and joining the Sankirtan movement. Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedhasa. Devanshinri Bhutani Pitrinatmananandaham Swavritya Gata Vitena Yajeta Purusham Vritak. Every day one should worship the Supreme Being who is situated in everyone's heart. And on this basis, one should separately worship the demigods, the saintly persons, ordinary human beings and living entities, one's forefathers, and oneself. In this way, one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. Yarhyatmano dikaradhyā sarvasyo yagasampadā Vaitani kena vidhina agnihotra diniyajet. When one is enriched with wealth and knowledge, which are under his full control, and by means of which he can perform yajna or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifices, offering oblations to the fire according to the directions of the Shastra. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaste, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vajkav Charibhya Stakrita Sindhu Bhyavaja Paridhanam Padli Bhyo Vaishnavi Vinamalva. In the first of these two verses, verse 15, it is stated there that first you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then when you've done that, you should worship various other people, like even, for example, the demigods, even ordinary human beings and ordinary living entities. One should worship one's forefathers, and one should worship oneself. Isn't that interesting? Oh, that should be nice. Anyway, but this is in a particular sense. In a particular sense. There are different possible senses, actually. Narada Muni is speaking here, I think, to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And at least in this regard, one should worship the demigods and saintly persons, other people, and even oneself. In the context, as is stated in the very verse itself, in this way, one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. So, this is worship. This is worship of the super soul, actually. Specifically focusing on that particular form of the Lord, super soul within the heart. So the super soul is in the heart of the demigods, in the hearts of the demigods. He is there in the heart, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Durga, and all these other personalities, 33 million demigods. They're all big, important persons, very powerful, very influential, controlling the universe. So a devotee here is being encouraged or instructed by Narada Muni, great authority, that you should worship the super soul as he is manifest in the hearts of so many living beings in so many situations. So not exactly that one would worship the demigods, certainly not in terms of Karma Kandya worship as prescribed in the Karma Kandya section of the Vedas, because after all, that would be the eighth offense against the holy names, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, Karma Kandya. Either it would be that, or it would be the sixth offense. One of our devotees tell us, what is the sixth offense to the holy names?
To give interpretation of the holy names.
Yes. To interpret. What does interpret mean in this context? It means to make a comparison and to accept or express that the holy name is not exactly just the holy name, but rather the holy name through being equal to some other thing, like a demigod or the name of a demigod, that the holy name should be taken to be like that, which that's an interpretation. That's an interpretation in a certain slightly refined sense, but it is an interpretation, because the holy name is the holy name. is the holy name, and it is only the holy name. And that's what it is. It is the holy name. It is not some representative type of motif or symbol or something like that. And it is certainly not some universal prayer like the Hindu people in their well-intentioned confusion. I think it's more more confused than well-intended, really. But there are some well-intentions there. They're trying to come up with a universal prayer. And the most popular attempt at that is a song called Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Popular. Very popular. And it is like that. It is an attempt to express something, you know, universal, which sort of contains elements of everything. Yes, like Srila Prabhupada once, I don't know if you visited, maybe just heard, about one so-called Swami who came from India. And the Swami started his whatever movement program. And he was offering everything. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and yoga, meditation, sacrifice to the demigods, maybe Taoism, Shintoism, Confucianism or something, Confucianism. And that's really what it ended up as. You could go in there, and whatever you were looking for, you'd find it. And if you didn't find it, you just told the fellow, he would introduce it. Because when, as you move around, you find, wow, there's a lot of programs going on. In Australia, the Aboriginals, the ethnic people, their worship, they had a religion. It was worship of the sun in a certain particular way. And the idea was that when the sun sets, it dies. That's it. Gone, dead, finished. So, therefore, we must perform special sun worship program so that tomorrow a new sun will be born. Sri Sri Natai Maya for Chandra Ki. And so they do that. They would do that every night. After the sunset, they would do it. It was basically their religion, as far as I'm aware. And then the next morning, lo and behold, the sun would rise and they would say, see, it works. We got a new sun. So anyway, this man, whoever he was, introduced all sorts, not just like the big, however many it is, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Judaism, I don't know. But anyway, not just those, but many other practices. And Srila Prabhupada was told about him. And Prabhupada said, yes, he is a good businessman. Whatever you're looking for, he's got it. So whoever comes in his shop, he can make money from him. That's business. Yeah, you got to present a variety so you can get more money from more people. So, So the idea here is to recognize the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everyone's heart, even in every atom, actually, and worship Him in that context. So it might look like you're doing demigod worship, or philanthropy, or what's it called? Something anthropomorphic, something like that. May look like it, but it's not really that. You're actually worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is part of the process of Krishna consciousness, albeit not really like a central part, because really we're to worship Krishna. But the Supersoul is an important expansion of Krishna, and here within this material world, particularly for ordinary people, non-devotees, to recognize the presence of the Lord as Supersoul, it's very important. They will then develop that sense of the presence of the Supreme Lord and gradually go on to come to some more substantial Krishna-conscious level of devotional service. So, therefore, and also for householders, householders in household life, at least certainly materialistic household life, there is this very pronounced tendency to identify with the body, my own body, and then the bodies of my family members. And in that way, to be very attached on the mundane platform, on the bodily material platform. So that's just sort of part and parcel, or it's practically the essence, really, of materialistic household life. And to see something higher, like God, that's not easy for people who are so entrenched, deeply attached on the material level. So for them, it helps if they can be encouraged to appreciate the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their own hearts, the hearts of their family members, the other people they interact with. It can help them to, it's part of a process which can help them, and if applied nicely, will help them to rise above that level of just being engrossed materially, which otherwise is hardly possible, hardly likely. So this is good for householders. Of course, ultimately, in one sense, it's good for everyone, but particularly for householders, because in household life, it's official. I am a man, you are a woman, I am the husband, you are the wife, these are our children, this is our son, this is our daughter, and you cannot just exchange places, or overlook at least. You cannot overlook these bodily situations, because if you do that, then you may start treating some of those people in inappropriate ways. In inappropriate ways. So then, in verse 16, Narada Muni goes on to point out that this is a very important point, and therefore Srila Prabhupada gave quite a substantial purport, that for a householder, along with this concept we just talked about, trying to go beyond the simple bodily platform and appreciate the presence of the Lord and start relating with the Lord in one's family situation. Along with that, one has to develop knowledge, and at least if one is a householder who, as they say, I think in, you know, old English society, is worth his salt, means a qualified householder, not a, you know, a dud, a failure householder. A really qualified householder should have money, should have material facility for his family. It's his duty, not just to become rich and live an extravagant life at all, but for the family, so the family can be well situated. Of course, yesterday we were talking about simple living and high thinking. And at some point, I think perhaps over the last few days, was it? We gave the example of Sudama, who was living in abject poverty, just poverty. Some days they couldn't eat anything because they couldn't get it, they couldn't afford it. So, not to try to become Bill Gates number two or, you know, some sort of opulent, overdone materialist, but every householder, family, or particularly the husband, who's meant to be the leader of the family, he should have enough material facility, enough so that he's not simply only able to maintain his family and nothing more, but he should have enough to utilize a decent amount in sacrifice. He should do that. And not just every day, you know, everyone eats. We have enough money to get through today. What about tomorrow? The next challenge. No, there should be enough. So the family can live in a decent, respectable way, responsible way. But there should be enough for householders so they can give some charity or use some in some Krishna conscious activity. Same idea, charitable activity. Like Srila Prabhupada said about his own father. Prabhupada said a number of things about his father. One thing Prabhupada said about his father was a pure devotee. Yes. His father was a businessman. He was a cloth merchant. And those of you who have been to Vrindavan or India, it's all over India, you've seen so many cloth merchants. You may have, particularly in Vrindavan, sat in the shops of a number of them and been given limpkins so that you'll buy things from them. So they're giving charity, donating a limpka or a 7-Up because they've got enough money. Anyway, the Srila Prabhupada's father, Prabhupada explained, he had his shop. He would go there every day. But before he went, he would do his puja at home. He had his deities, some altar was there. And Prabhupada said his father every day would do some program of puja. Then he'd go to the shop later, like 10, 11 o'clock. He'd go to the shop. He was not one of these business enthusiasts that, even though it's 10 o'clock at night here, but in New York, it is midday. So I'm wheeling and dealing to make some money, or whatever, something along those lines. You know, as soon as I get up, my sadhana is start making, doing something in terms of my work, whatever it may be. Prabhupada, there was a devotee, extremely nice devotee in Bombay, Mr. Setty, very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, extremely, although he never got initiated. So Mr. Setty, when Prabhupada first met him, Mr. Setty was like a pious, successful businessman, construction contractor. So Prabhupada asked him, when they first met, first meeting, what do you do? Construction. Prabhupada said, oh, and what's your program? They started talking about his construction. Prabhupada said, no, I mean, what's your morning program? Prabhupada meant, like his father had done, some puja, some something. But Mr. Setty, well, he didn't have such a program, actually. He was a little confused. He said to Prabhupada, well, I get up, I have a cup of coffee, and go to the office. That was his answer to the question, what is your program? And Prabhupada responded in a most extraordinary or dramatic way. Prabhupada said, so, what is the difference between you and a pig? How's that for a response? Sure, cutting. And the man was taken aback. But their Prabhupada was so insightful. You know, just so insightful. You know, generally he could tell what to say to anyone. So the person, you know, would, yeah, feel comfortable and encouraged, ultimately to take an interest in Krishna consciousness. So Mr. Setty, he got the message. First of all, he's a little like, wow, really? But then he said, actually, you're right. It's a fact. He told us this himself. Mr. Setty, a couple of years ago. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada's father again. He would do his puja and go to the shop. All the other shops would be open. His would be closed. He'd go in, open up. Then lunchtime would come. He'd close down, go home, have lunch. And chant some rounds. Go back in the afternoon, open up for an hour, couple of hours. Close down, go back and do some more Krishna conscious things. Prabhupada said that this was his father's program. But Prabhupada made the point very strongly and on many occasions. His father, every single day, 365 days in a year, his father would have his mother, Prabhupada's mother, cook extra, and his father, at lunchtime, would walk out onto the street and shout, "Is there anyone hungry? Does anyone need a meal? Please come." And Prabhupada said, you know, he lived at home for 20 years or 20 something years. Prabhupada said, there was never a day when they did not have at least two guests unknown people off the street for lunch. Even though his father was not a wealthy man, and he was a little family business, as we mentioned, but he was charitable as a householder. And he was able to be charitable also. He was not just squeezing out enough to cover the bills for the month. But he was able to do that every day. For years and years. So this is, you could say, a qualified householder. It's part of being a qualified householder. Indeed, one of our godbrothers, I remember many, many years ago when Prabhupada was present, he had just got married. And Prabhupada had been present, I don't know if he was present in the actual ceremony or present just in the city. But one way or another, Prabhupada was around. And the next morning, Prabhupada went on a morning walk, and this particular devotee was relatively senior, so he went on the morning walk. And he thought that now he's a householder, as of yesterday, he should ask Prabhupada for some instructions. How to be a householder? What are my duties? So he asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what are the duties of the householder? Like that. And Prabhupada responded. Prabhupada looked at him and said, be charitable. Don't be miserly. In that sort of mood, you know. Be charitable. Don't be miserly. And that was it. And then Prabhupada just walked on. And this devotee thought, wow, you know, I was expecting something more sort of esoteric or profound or something. So a couple of weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later, Prabhupada was somewhere else. But that particular devotee happened to be there also. And he had been thinking about what Prabhupada had said. And he thought, you know, maybe Prabhupada was just in a particular mood or, you know, something. He just came out with that. But maybe I could get some deeper instruction. So again, he went on the morning walk with Prabhupada like 2 or 3 weeks later. And again, he asked Prabhupada the same question. What are the duties of the householder? And again, Prabhupada turned to him and said, be charitable. Don't be miserly. It is a very important part of being a householder. Because as we mentioned, there's this tendency, not just tendency, but it's just a fixture, you know, part of the scene, of identifying with the body and the bodies of one's family members. And it's just usually deeply entrenched, particularly amongst materialistic people. It's totally entrenched. But for devotees who may be householders, they face the same challenge. But of course, Krishna consciousness means that we try to make programs and adjust our lives so that we don't fall victim to the different traps of household life or any life, of brahmachari life, of sannyas life, male life, female life. Even as devotees, there are traps. There are traps. And I, you know, one thing I thought on Saturday, was it Sunday? We read about Madhavi Devi, Sikhi Mahiti's sister, and how Lord Chaitanya had 3.5 main associates, and she was the half. And that It's a trap. It's a deep trap and dangerous trap for women first, but also for men, that they may become condescending towards women like that. So there are traps. The brahmachari may think he's big renunciate, powerful renunciate, tyagi. And you know, these others, whoever they are, they're just, look at them, worms in stool. Look at these grihasthas, fallen in the deep dark well, and so on like that. So there are challenges. There are challenges for sannyasis. There are challenges for spiritual masters. In Nectar of Devotion, you see, it's right in the earlier chapters. Srila Prabhupada, well, it's coming from Rupa Goswami, actually, says that one must not try to gather too many disciples, become sort of acquisitive. And many people might think, well, a spiritual master doesn't need any instructions, he should just give them. But in Shastra, you'll find there are instructions for spiritual masters. Don't do this, don't do that. Because there are challenges for everyone. So there are challenges for householders. This chapter is about ideal family life. And one of the challenges is that because of the situation and the responsibilities and the demands coming from the other family members and even from oneself, one's own senses and mind, it's so easy to get into the idea that I need to accumulate more than I actually need to accumulate. You've got to accumulate something. You know, don't try and be a second Sudama. But the tendency, if there's a tendency to err, either on the side, the Sudama side, and kind of force the family members to live too austere a life and it's too difficult for them, or to err on the other side of the margin of becoming too opulent, etc., the tendency is, I would say, practically universally, to err on the opulent side. And it's a challenge. So therefore, being charitable for householders is essential. It's not just nice, desirable, advisable. It's essential. So Srila Prabhupada goes on, making that point in principle. Srila Prabhupada goes on to establish, okay, if we are householders, we have to give charity. It's part of the sadhana for a householder. So what charity are we going to give? And Prabhupada quotes two verses. Well, the money should be used in the process of sacrifice. Prabhupada quotes Bhagavatam 12-52. Kritaya jayato Vishnu. In Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, the sacrifice should be in meditation. In Treta Yuga, the sacrifice should be in opulent fire sacrifice. In Dwapara Yuga, sacrifice should be in opulent and just very nice temple deity worship. And in Kali Yuga, The sacrifice should be in Sankirtan. We should go on Sankirtan and we should donate, give charity for Sankirtan, directly, indirectly, in the general sense, for the Sankirtan movement. If we're householders, we should do that. We need to do that. And then Prabhupada quotes, Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer, Yajanti Hi Sumedhasa. Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer. The sacrifice, the process of sacrifice is Sankirtan Yajna. And Su Medhasa. Medhasa means intelligent. And Su Medhasa means very intelligent. Very intelligent. People who are very intelligent, Yajanti, the verse says. Yajanti is third person plural. They engage in the sacrifice. He, Yajanti, he, definitely. They definitely, the very intelligent people, all of them, they certainly engage in that sacrifice in Kali Yuga. So, this is important. This is essential. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of mine. They have to be. There's no two ways. It's either Krishna service or mine's. That's all. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Thank you for the nice comments, Prabhupada. In terms of giving charity, you mentioned about how in the Gopal it speaks about contributing towards or taking part in the Sankirtan Yoga.
Right.
For Kali Yuga. But so, like a householder or anyone will be, while driving the car or while walking the streets, or while everyone's home, will be confronted by a person's begging, like for food or for money. So how does a Krishna conscious householder deal with that?
Okay. Good point. Very good point. Particularly, if they're ordinary people, materialistic people and not devotees, by giving prasadam, or maybe in some cases giving some literature perhaps, something like that. But particularly by giving prasadam. You know, you don't get it so much in South Africa, although you get it more than you used to. But in India, it's rampant. India is what they call a beggar's paradise. So there, I've had experience, you know, so many times. Well, you know, people coming and begging. But I've had the experience of giving someone, like, for example, an apple. Nice apple, prasadam. It's good for the health. If they're hungry, you know, it's what the doctor ordered, so to speak. But then they refuse the apple. They want money. Because they don't want food. They want some other thing, like non-essential. And in many cases, they want some intoxicant or something like that. Yeah. So generally, we don't give money. You know, I forget exactly where I read it, but somewhere I read it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, when he would stay, when he was traveling around India, he would stay in someone's, like, wealthy householder's house. And when he left, he would personally give the household servant's money. And one time, I read, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he had a party with him, a group of devotees, including some householders. And one of the householders, one of the servants asked for money, the householder refused. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked why. And the householder said, well, you know, I didn't know what he'd use it for, some sort of an excuse like that. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't appreciate that. They made the point that it's very important for householders to be charitable. Of course, in those cases, it's also a little different. They were staying with householders, wealthy householders, who were devotees. And the servants were devotees also. So if there is a need for a householder, I mean, if some other devotee actually needs money, genuinely, in a Krishna conscious context, somehow or other, then for a householder now to give charity in the form of money, I mean, other than to the movement or, you know, something like that, it may be okay to give money, but it would be okay to give money to help if some devotees are in some very difficult financial situation, but they're genuine devotees. But otherwise, with the non-devotees, better just to give them prasadam. Yeah? And, you know, I've seen some beggars become devotees through being given prasadam. And I've seen a number, if not actually become like practicing devotees, but become like really appreciative of Krishna consciousness through being given prasadam. Just a few days ago, in somewhere, we met such a beggar, and he came running over the car. We didn't have any prasadam, but he was so happy, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, because the driver, who was that, do you remember? Rohini Nandan, right, yeah, it was in Palok, in Durban. He had previously given him prasadam. And this person, in his own way, was inspired in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Any other comment or question? Yes.
In terms of giving something spiritual to someone, like I've even just mentioned the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to like maybe some family members, and instead of, because I was thinking at least the mantra itself is pure, it's so it will do its work, but instead then some family member would actually shout back and like throw it in your face, so I don't know if that's like
Right. Well, this happens not just with family members. We're to give people Krishna consciousness, including family members, tribe. And, you know, any Krishna consciousness you give them is helpful, even if they respond negatively. Even if you say to them, you know, Hare Krishna or something like that, and they tell you, get out with your Hare Krishna, something along those lines. But still, it helps them. Even though superficially there's a negative reaction, you know, even a very extreme case. There was a man in America many years ago, in Prabhupada's time, his name was Ted Patrick. He was a professional, what they call, deprogrammer. You heard of deprogramming?
Yeah.
They would kidnap devotees, and not just devotees, the people from different religious faiths kidnap, literally kidnap them, and then put them through a forced program of, you know, like being exposed to things like really heavily against their religious beliefs, be it Catholic or whatever, Hare Krishna, in it, and like, you know, highly offensive to their beliefs, in an effort to break them from their beliefs, right? So there was this Ted Patrick, he was the chief back in those days, that was sort of mid-70s or early to mid-70s. So he kidnapped a number of devotees and physically abused them, and what to speak of psychologically. And the devotees were really angry about this. And the devotees said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, should we perhaps do something about Ted Patrick? Didn't mean sit down and speak to him and just, you know, try and convince him that it's okay. It means something like call the mafia. And Prabhupada said, no, no, no. All day, what's he doing? He's simply thinking, I hate Hare Krishna. I'm going to get the Hare Krishnas. I'm going to do something to the Hare Krishnas. Prabhupada said, all day, he's just thinking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's being benefited. Okay. Having said that, though, I mean, it is true. It is true. But still, it is also true that we should try to be intelligent about how we give people Krishna consciousness, means try and give them Krishna consciousness in appropriate ways, which they may accept. You know, one of the great faults of many devotees when they're very new, they just got into it, and you know, they just got out of material life and they're feeling such a relief. You know, wow, I got something real, I got something better. Wow, fantastic. So there's that initial type of exhilaration. And they go to their family members, hey, you're a Maya! Yeah. You know, just open the fridge, throw out all the eggs and the meat. Just tell them, don't worry, we've got a better program for you. Well, it's true. It's not that it's not true. It is true. But if you want it to work, you know, if you want it to have the desired result, that they actually turn around and say, hey, yeah, you're right. I've got to get into this. And then they actually do get into it. Well, you really have to be a little intelligent to understand them and what, you know, who they are, what they are as people. And then understand Krishna consciousness enough to see what is there in Krishna consciousness that they might be able to relate to. Yeah. Like it is said, there's a saying, a saint is never recognized in his own village. Because in his own village, everybody knows him, particularly from before, when he was just, you know, some foolish young person. And so now here's this foolish young person, but actually a devotee now, he's not really foolish. But they see him like that, and he's coming, saying, you must chant Hare Krishna. And the people think, come on. Because as far as they know, he's the foolish young person. So in those types of cases, like often with family members, it's often better if the new devotee invites some senior devotee who may be, say, the same age as the parents, maybe even have the same interests or knowledge of many things that the parents are interested in, and can then present Krishna consciousness in such a way that the parents or whoever will be able to relate with it and accept it. And just one example, not for family members, but when Prabhupada, when we got Bhaktivedanta Manor, 1973, and many famous people, very famous people, and many, every day, famous people would come and meet Srila Prabhupada. They were specially invited. So one day, Graham Hill came, who, you know, you probably never heard of now, but at the time, he was the Grand Prix driving racing car champion of the world. He was really a famous person, but he's a racing car driver. He's not really, they're not known for being philosophers so much. So he sat, somehow he came, he got invited and came, and he sat down with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada started talking to him about motor cars. He didn't just say, chant Hare Krishna. So this is the basic point, and it applies with everybody that we meet. As much as possible, and particularly people you're close to, who you have to interact with regularly, you really have to see. You should present Krishna consciousness to them, but see how to do it in a way which at least has the best possibility of working. I mean, you'll only know what will work when you've tried it, but still, you should try and calculate like that. Okay. And not beat people over the head too much.
Can I just mention one thing?
Yeah.
You know, what's amazing though is that before Krishna consciousness, like I would be talk to my brother or whatever, and it would be so much on the same level, so much love and so much understanding, encouraging each other to achieve materially and whatever. And all of a sudden I just mentioned Krishna or like Jesus Christ or the Bible, and it's like, phew! You know, like, we're not friends anymore. Like, total enemies, like, we can't agree on anything anymore. So it's just kind of amazing.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. Well, it's interesting in that it reveals to you how your relationship and even the affection of the relationship was actually not really dependent on, you know, just the fact that you're brother and sister. But it was really on the basis of shared interest in material existence. Or as they say, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. That's what it is. You're interested in X, Y, Z, so am I. And so I talk about the same thing. And you think, oh, great, we have a relationship. But the actual family connection, you know, there's so many cases of family members who develop other interests, and sometimes Krishna consciousness, but other interests, just other interests. And the other family members reject them. They get kicked out of the family. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Oh, yes.
Maharaj, you were talking about verse 15 about, you know, we see the super soul in everyone's heart and appreciate it. Sometimes we know theoretically, but how do we come, how do we learn to appreciate the super soul in everyone's heart? You know, people around us and we can.
Well, you know, the thing is, as Krishna consciousness develops through following the process, then a greater consciousness of Krishna develops. A greater awareness of Krishna's presence develops. So in this way, a sense of the presence of Krishna develops in the heart, in the intelligence of the devotee. But at least in the beginning, we have to accept theoretically, philosophically, at least accept it, the concept, on a conceptual level, and then try to apply that. It's just like we are to preach, we are to do the Sankirtan Yajna, go out and present Krishna consciousness to the world. And it's an act of mercy, of great compassion. But when we go out and do it, we may not feel so much compassion or mercy. We may feel anxiety. You know, what are these people thinking about me? Do they think I look strange? You know, all that. We may be distributing books. It's the same thing, it's an act of mercy, compassion. But we may not be thinking of it in those terms. We may be thinking, you know, I've got to beat him. So every now and then we ask, how many books have you done? 10. I've done 11, good, I would. But through doing it, because it is an act of compassion, even though we don't feel the emotion, but just by doing it gradually, the emotion, all the other more subtle aspects will come. So, just by remaining in Krishna consciousness, understanding philosophically how Krishna's present, then gradually, in due course, more and more consciousness of how Krishna's presence will come. It's not necessary that you have to look at the chest, you know, like put on your special glasses. Is that the super soul? Oh no, it's one of... Anyway, it's not. It's a freckle. Hare Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Telling us about Chaitanya Sai Maharaj
ki. Jai.